y'all get out the end, now you can knock off and go at the house. It'd be Saturday afternoon late. And get his gun and go on and get on the railroad track and walk around the curve, and he'd come back by the edge of dark, and if that he'd gone out then to kill our Sunday dinner, and he'd bring a turkey in, or maybe two. You know, he never did kill on just what he could use. Back them days, in a half a mile of our house, why he wouldn't be gone too long, and a half a mile of our house, why he'd kill our Sunday dinner. In the same way with ducks. Yeah, back them days, there was plenty of ducks here. And you didn't even have to have license to hunt back then. No, you didn't. You just hunted. Yeah. If you took a notion to hunt, why you hunted. But you didn't go out there and just shoot stuff just to shoot it. Like you conserved it because that was your living, that you depended on that to live on. And that's the way everything, fish, was done to catch fish. Why, anybody could catch fish if you wanted to go down there. But you didn't see many people fishing. There's some people was too lazy to fish, but other people, they wasn't. They didn't.
When your father would go to Nisimo,
my granddaddy,
did he ever fish over there?
That's what he went for.
What did he catch?
He'd catch all kinds of fish, but really, he always went over there and long in the summertime when the sea bass was on, and he'd catch them sea bass, and what they do, they'd carry a barrel with them and salt in the wagon. And they'd camp clean here and there. And they used to camp at a place, he used to call it Indian Springs, I believe what he called it. It's anyway, it's somewhere out about where, close to where Sam Sewell is. That was one of his stopping points. And back out there, he'd carry, when he went over there, he always carried his net and a barrel, and he'd catch these mullet and salt them down. So he'd put them down in salt, and when he'd come back, he'd be over there sometime he'd be gone for a couple of months. That's when there wasn't no work here, and everything was shut down, and he'd go there, and when he'd come back, he'd have this barrel of mullet salted down. Well, that's enough mullet to last him the whole year. When I was a boy, when shad season was on, back them days, he starts catching shad in December, and they'd catch them till the first day of April. And every first day of every April, they'd have a big picnic. And it used to be right over here, where I-4 didn't have no road then. It was just an old road through the woods. This place, there was a shell mound, a big shell mound there. And always on the 1st of April, they'd have a big picnic there. Everybody you see, I dare say you'd see maybe at least 50 or 75 horses and wagons tied to different trees around, you know, tied there. And everybody spread out their lunch, you know, and have a big fish fry. That was a winding up of shad season. And you could catch shad there by the boatloads. And these men, I was just a boy. But these men, they'd get down there and they'd start scaling these fish and slicing them. And then a bunch over there frying them. And they'd just fry up, I don't know how many fish they'd fry up, but they'd just hundreds of pounds of fish. And everybody would come to this fish fry. It was a big event because that was end of shad season, and everybody come to this here. That was before they ever had a bridge across the river here. That was before that time.
So they had to let the horses come across.
Yeah. Well,